Let's start off with John Bruce with story number one. John, this is a piece that's coming out of the Palm Beach Post. I'm going to read you the headline for a couple of graphs, and I want you to comment. And keep in mind, in 2021, there was a collapse of a tower in Surfside, Florida, on the Barrier Island, just north of Miami Beach, south of Sunny Isles Beach. As a result of that, we've seen a bunch of changes take place because of this disaster, where nearly 100 people died and $1 billion payout was made to the families of those related or involved with this particular building. A lot of things have changed subsequently. Associations now are under the gun to go ahead and do the necessary things to make sure that this this disaster isn't repeated. And insurance companies are requiring a lot of associations just to make sure that if they are going to insure some of these associations, they're not on the hook if something goes sideways. So that is the background, John. Again, headline and first couple graphs, and I'll ask you a comment. And again, Palm Beach Post is the publication. Headline, a perfect storm is coming to South Florida as maintenance fees threaten condo owners. Subhead, this window of opportunity won't last forever. Once the structural studies are factored in, associations are looking at what likely to be a domino effect. And in the first couple graphs, Mr. Gruce, a financial cliff may await Florida condo owners at the end of the year as new regulations may cause association maintenance fees to skyrocket. Condo owners can take matters into their own hands to avert being shoved off the edge, but the window of opportunity is rapidly closing. Florida has been in a state of reckoning over the last 2 years after the collapse of Surfside Champlain Towers in 2021 set off a slew of new regulations. In the aftermath, lawmakers realized the condominium law that allows associations to defer critical maintenance and not hold a reserve for future repairs and maintenance may lead to more tragedies. And one more graph, Mr. Gruce. Structures built in the 1950s, 60s, 70s have been slowly deteriorating and have become more difficult and expensive to maintain. Roofs and other components of these older buildings meant to last 20, 30 years have been pushed beyond their lifespan. Senate Bill 4D, enacted during the 2022 session of the Florida Legislature, created a new standard for condo buildings over three stories tall. Mr. Gruce, the story goes on to say, come 2025, the typical measure or the way that associations try to keep maintenance fees down was simply to defer all kind of work that was necessary or should have been done. Now, suddenly, that ends come January 1st. Reserves have to be put in place, and associations now have to deal with the problems at hand. Why don't you give us an overview about what the story says and what you think the impact of this particular law that goes into effect in 2025 will have on the condominium market in Florida?
Well, I mean, this has been in the news for the last couple of years. I mean, it's, I would be surprised that anyone is shocked that this is coming. Everybody's been talking about it. It's been in the news. It's on the way. So all I can say is right now, I mean, thank goodness we are still in most parts, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but in a seller's market. So, I mean, if you're going to be facing, this kind of increase in fees, you might want to consider selling. And thank goodness we're still in somewhat of a seller's market, although that seems to be changing based on what you, Peter, have reported. Of course, this is going to give a lot of opportunity to developers who are looking for ways to redevelop some of these old buildings, tear them down, buy out the condos, terminate the condos, and build brand new condos. So this may spark a new wave of condo development on the sites of some of these crumbling old condos. And I think condo owners of these old buildings are going to have to reckon with what to do, because they're going to be facing, crazy, crazy expensive fees, especially with the construction costs as high as they are today. So I think we're going to see a lot of redevelopments. I think we're going to see a lot of condo buyouts. And if I were a condo owner, I'd get the hell out of there as soon as I can.
No. And Mr. Gruce, one of the graphs I want to read out from the story and then ask you to comment, then I'm open up to the floor. And the paragraph says, selling the units individually may not be an option for a majority of owners if their condos become distressed due to many owners being unable to pay their fees, as mortgage lenders are no longer willing to lend on condos in distressed buildings. Same factors that are pushing unit owners to sell will keep away buyers who can likely get property in a newer building at the same cost. John, do you think this could be that black swan that we've been talking about in the housing market? There's not enough supply out there. Now, lo and behold, you got a 2025 deadline coming in. And once one person starts to sell, condos, as I argue, are commodities. They're not works of art. Therefore, they're going to trade just like orange juice or coffee or anything like that. And if a bunch of people start to offload, couldn't that basically create like a doom loop where the only way to get out basically is to lower your price, which then contributes to a whole variety of other things for anybody, any new money coming in. They're not going to be able to get financing because the lender will go ahead and do the underwriting. It's either there might be some sort of issue at hand. So can you kind of walk us through that? Is that a Chicken Little scenario, or do you think there might be some legs to that argument?
Well, I mean, the first thing is there's a lot of cash buyers out there that are probably ready to pounce with cash offers, and then you wouldn't need to finance it. A lot of investors and people like that who might be looking for deals. So yeah, I mean, if you lower your price enough, there will be cash buyers and they won't need to get financing, deal with the banks. So I think that's one way you're going to see some movement in the market.
Interesting. Lydia or Mr. Fackler, either of you want to comment just about what's coming come 2025 in condominium associations? And I will tell you, based on a lot of the numbers we've been running, we're seeing that all the markets, with a few exceptions, one being like Coral Gables, another one being like Little Havana, if you can believe that, they're all in buyer's markets where there's way too much supply compared to the number of transactions. Now, the number of units on the market has not gone up that substantially, but what's happened is there's basically no deals. People aren't doing the transactions. And as a result of that, as more and more people put their product on the market, you're just seeing the months of supplies increase. So Lydia, Mr. Fackler, anybody want to comment?
It's interesting because my colleague, Catherine Collard, she's been reporting about the buyouts of coastal condo buildings. And I think that's a little bit of a different market than the Gables and Little Havana. And I think there was a case at Biscay 21, and I'm sure at a couple of other waterfront condo buildings, Biscayne 21 being the one in Edgewater by Margaret Pace Park, that there's a couple of holdouts. You know, we don't know why they're holding out, but I can only suspect it's because they're trying to get a higher offer from the buyer. You know, there is the fact that, like, eventually, as you said, they are going to have to sell and lower their prices to get those cash buyers. So maybe, like Gene said in the beginning, if I were a condo owner, maybe sell now